Good evening and welcome back to Hour 2 of Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis, along with Dave Schrader. This feels kind of weird switching, but hey.
You like that?
Normally when I'm sitting in this seat, it's when you're gone.
I know.
And you're here.
I am here.
It's almost like having Dad watch over your shoulder when you're driving the car.
Not at all.
No, I'm kidding.
Don't break the show.
I'm not going to break the show.
No drinking and broadcasting.
What?
No.
I can't do that.
This is an exciting night. We've had a great first hour interview. We talked to Edwin Becker about his true life haunting. And this is something that delves into two of your favorite topics.
Well, you know, I've been trying to somehow mash professional wrestling and the paranormal, two of my favorite things to delve into, hobbies, if you will, and try to mash them into one big hot dish, one big Minnesota hot dish. So, and actually, yesterday we were taping with Rob Van Dam, a TNA X Division champion, and we were taping an interview with him on Extreme Pro Wrestling Radio. And Rob mentions, out of the blue, that he's got an interest in the paranormal. And I said, wait, I'll talk to you off air. And I wanted to hear a lot about it. And for years now, there's been some interesting correlation between professional wrestling and the paranormal. And I wanted to talk to a wrestler about the paranormal, and you hear different stories all the time. One of them is that Vicky Guerrero, whose husband Eddie Guerrero passed away here in Minneapolis and actually was a friend of Rob's. She went out ghost hunting like within the last year with Amy Bruni from Ghost Hunters.
Interesting.
You've seen a tie before with the Ghost Hunters TV program. CM Punk, who's now the WWE champion, was on an episode of Ghost Hunters over Halloween. I think that was 2007. That was just days before we went out to do an event with them.
Right. There was another gentleman that came on the year after.
Right. And he's now the Pope in TNA.
In Waverly Hills, right?
Right, in Waverly Hills.
As I remember, he ran like a little girl.
Yeah, he did.
When he heard the noises. Yeah.
He did, and we'll be sure Rob takes that back to the Pope when he sees him in TNA. But there's been this interesting kind of tie between the two, and they're slowly colliding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could say The Undertaker is the tie-in between both worlds. But
sure.
We'll talk a little bit with Rob about a little bit of the tie between wrestling and the paranormal. But I really want to hear his paranormal experiences and some of his experiences as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here he is. Mr. TNA himself, the whole effing show. I'm just using gimmick names
sure.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Van Dam. Welcome, Rob, to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. I'm always doing great. So thanks for having me on the Darkness.
I appreciate it, and appreciate you spending yet another hour with us here. You know, when we were talking a little bit yesterday, you'd mentioned you'd had some paranormal experiences, and you said you grew up in a haunted house. So let's start there. Tell me a little bit about where you grew up and how you had your first encounter with a ghost.
Yeah, well, first ghost experience I can remember, of course, was watching Casper on TV. He was a friendly ghost.
He was, yeah.
You know, when I was like 5 years old, I moved to a house in Battle Creek, Michigan, where it was a well-known fact that a previous resident had hung himself in the garage. I didn't think much of it because I was so young at that age. You just think whatever your parents tell you to think, and they said, he's a friendly ghost, you know, don't worry about it. And I never worried about it, but the whole time I was there until I was like 18 and went out on the road pursuing my career, there was always experiences. And I remember it just like he was part of the family. It was really like, we knew his name. I went to school with his family.
Really?
And it was a really strange situation because like we just, whenever something would happen, we would just laugh it off and say, oh, that's Ron. And sometimes we could even count on it. So some of the other kids were freaked out because my house had that reputation. I remember one time I had this kid, John Lindquist, over, and he really wanted to experience some kind of experience with the ghost. And I said, dude, just relax, and I mean, it'll happen. It happens all the time. So it was just him and I alone in my house. My parents were somewhere. We were playing Atari 2600 because that's what you did back then.
Yeah.
And to date the story. But anyway, we heard these footsteps, and that's what a reoccurring experience would be. It was very often footsteps. So we heard them distinctly upstairs. We were downstairs. And my friend John got this big, wide look in his eyes, like, oh my God. And I looked at him, and I said, oh my God, you know, just feeding into it. I said, relax, dude, it's probably just my dog. And then we looked down and noticed the dog was right beside us. And he literally ran up the stairs and ran out the back door, and I had to talk him into coming back into the house.
Oh my gosh. Let me ask you, Rob, first of all, how did you know the ghost's name was Ron, or did you just assign him a name, or did you find it from the family?
No, I mean, we knew his first and last name, and like I said, I went to school with his family, with his nephews and his nieces. It was well documented. I only know the story of what happened from what my mom told me about when he hung himself, but we knew him as Ron. It was awkward, like at Halloween, we were not to hang a ghost, you know, in our yard for decoration because we didn't want to offend the family. I mean, it was real, and it was that personal. A lot of the stuff happened out in the garage. One of the most recent and latest ones that my parents account was, and this was probably like 10 years ago, they don't live in that house anymore, but before they moved, my dad was reading out loud in the newspaper to my mom about the deceased. Mm-hmm. And the way the story goes, he was having problems with his wife. He wanted her to come home. She wouldn't come home. And my mom always says she thinks he just wanted to scare her and pretend he was going to do it and slipped and he hung himself. Whatever, but that's the story I grew up with. But my dad was reading in the paper and he said, oh, looks like Eileen, that bitch Eileen got married again. We can say bitch on terrestrial radio.
Sure, we can. Sure.
And wham, they heard this loud, like it sounded like a crashing noise. My dad went out to the garage and discovered a spring had come off of the garage door, and which was crazy. He hooked it back up, and he came inside, and then he started continuing to read the story about this guy's ex-wife getting remarried, and wham, they heard the crash again. My dad said, what the hell? And he went outside and checked, and then the other side had come off.
Really?
We could count on stuff happening often enough to where, like I said, it was like a family member. My wife actually stayed at the house. This was quite a while ago, too, because like I said, they don't live there anymore, but when my wife and I stayed at the house, and my parents were there. My mom was the only one in the house, actually, and she was coming to find out downstairs ironing. We got woken up by our ghost just in time to make our flight. Somehow we missed our wake-up call, and we had to drive 2 hours to the airport and fly out, and we heard a distinct knock. It was a friendly, definite knock that we both heard on the door that woke us up, and I said, oh, hold on a second, because I had to, like, throw some shorts on or something, open up the door, and nobody was there, and then come to find out, nobody would have been there.
Do you feel like Ron was a member of the family, or do you feel like he was adversarial at times when you were growing up?
Always friendly. I never had any issue. I never felt it. My brother says that he felt Ron actually like grabbing his foot one time when he was in bed. That would bother me. Mm-hmm. That never happened to me. It was always something that wasn't bothersome, and I just figured it was his house too. I never thought anything else.
Interesting. Now, did any of the members of the family ever come over to the house to try to communicate with him?
No, just other. I remember like one of the neighborhood kids one time wanted to get on the Ouija board, and he was shaking and freaking out so bad that he couldn't even put his hands on the thing, and ended up backing out. I was like, no, I don't want to do this. That's as close as that ever happened. My sister, by the way, was very close friends with the niece, and that's how real it was. But I don't know if they knew, you know, that the ghostly experiences happen that frequent. I personally didn't talk to the family about that, and I don't know what they would think about that.
Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Now, you claim you've never seen Ron himself, so he didn't appear as an apparition to you. Did he ever appear as an apparition to any of your family members?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Interesting. So you've had that particular experience of growing up with a ghost, and I want to kind of talk a little bit about other paranormal experiences you've had too, but I have to be curious. I got to jump to this particular point right off the bat, and this kind of hit me this afternoon as we were talking on the phone. I don't know if you've ever heard the stories of, like, say, in Puerto Rico, supposedly the arena where Bruiser Brody was stabbed. There are reports of wrestlers that have gone there and have heard things, seen things, and whatnot. In your experiences on the road, and have you ever run into anything paranormal as far as getting a creepy feeling in a locker room or in a particular arena or a hotel room where you've stayed?
I don't believe that I have. Nothing comes to mind, other than, I always have a supernatural connection just with my guidance that carries me throughout the day, and that's a very spiritual thing, but I definitely don't get freaked out or creeped out by it, and I don't consider it a negative thing ever.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that now. Let's transition to that, where the one thing that I've noticed about you, and it's something that, like, a lot of wrestlers don't carry on their sleeve, for lack of a better term, when you look at your singlet, you've got, like, the yin and the yang. You very much are out there. You're a guy who pretty much puts yourself out there as far as there's no big secrets about Rob Van Dam. Everything is pretty much out there in the press and on your website.
What you see is what you get.
Exactly. And one of those things definitely is you can tell there's a deeper spirituality to you as well. Talk to me a little bit, and we talked a little bit on the phone this afternoon about this as well. Talk to me about your spirituality and how you feel that you've been guided through your life. This is interesting to me.
Well, I've always felt like I was protected, and I always felt like I was different than everybody else. And that's the best way I can explain my own perspective of this. As a kid, I thought, maybe it was like an angel on my shoulder, or maybe like I was the chosen one, and I was meant for some kind of greatness, and that always made me believe in myself and reach for the stars and go for whatever I wanted to go for. I always felt like, I could do whatever I want in life, and in that way, I always felt before that it made me, above other people, like in a leader-like way. And as an adult, I started talking to some other people that seemed to have a relationship with their guidance, and I now look at it more like a connection that we're all supposed to have, and it's a matter of being tuned in to this. It's okay to call it a divine energy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I don't mind referring to the unknown as God, and the unknown could be spirits, God, aliens, all the above could be the same thing from my own perspective. Reading books, hearing other people's perspectives, I find enough commonalities to be fascinated and to study some of the likeness and some of the ways that successful people are ahead in this way. So I'm definitely not an atheist because I grew up with a strong connection to the spiritual world, and I've always felt still connected to it, and it fascinates me, and I hope someday to be able to relate even more to it.
Now, would you call yourself, because it seems like you're, for lack of a better term, your intuition is working on a lot higher level maybe than others? So would it be fair to say that you believe that you might even be sensitive to a point or have some sort of psychic ability?
Yes, but I think that it has to do with the conscious practice more than anything. Because I find when I talk to a lot of people, a lot of them have had circumstances that I have. Like, for instance, you're in the car and you have a song in your head and you turn the radio on, and not only is the song on, but it's on the exact same spot that you were thinking. A lot of people can relate to that, and it doesn't blow them away like, you know, something that stand out in their life is super phenomenal. But to me, that's just a small part of something much bigger, like a peek into a world that is mysterious and magical. And if we look at it as if our brain was somehow accepting the audio waves, you know, that were going to be translated through the radio, if we look at it that way, we can look at all energies that way, because everything really is energy. So I think that being in tune to the energy means you're connected to everything and everybody at the same time, regardless of space, and a lot of times it seems like even time. I'm often thinking of a friend, could be in Japan or whatever, that will call or text me like right then. And I journalize these synchronicities, and the more, just like anything, the more you're aware of it, the more you recognize that it happens. But it also puts yourself in a higher self being, a higher state of energy that allows you to experience more of this. And that becomes the study of every day for me.
Rob, this is Dave chiming in. Just out of curiosity, being somebody that has spirituality and a spiritual nature, definitely not an atheist, growing up in a haunted home and knowing that there is spiritual activity, there is an energy, a ghost, whatever we want to refer to it as, interacting in your life. As somebody who's spiritual, how does that affect you and your beliefs of, you know, religion and what happens to us after we die? Does it unnerve you because somebody might still be stuck here and maybe there wasn't a place for them to go?
Well, first off, I'm unlike the majority of people, I'm very comfortable admitting that there's stuff that I don't know. And I'm comfortable to the point of where I know that I never will know. I believe that when people say they know for sure what happens to them after they die, I think they're full of it. I might be wrong. I've been wrong before, but that's what I believe. I don't think that while we're alive, we can know. And of course, there's experiences of people who have died and come back to life and experienced a lot of common symptoms, you know, the experiences with the light in the tunnel and all that. I don't know. Reincarnation has, there's been no evidence in my life that has suggested that I'm a recycled spirit. I don't know. You know, that perspective could be changed through future experiences. But right now, what I do know is that, what we call the spiritual world is something that's spiritual to me because it's not physical. I don't know for sure that it used to breathe air just like me and used to be inside of flesh. That I don't know. And by the way, I even go to cemeteries and I try to feel the energy of spirits, and I'm not able to do it. And I'm obviously not sensitive in that way.
So, but you do open yourself trying to make that connection while you're at a cemetery.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely, because I would love to, and because, you know, like I say, they're in the house, the house that I'm in right now. I was telling Tim earlier, if I had to guess, I would think that there was like some children's spirits, because things that happen here are always like mischievous, and they're always like little like prank things that maybe somebody would think is funny. Like stuff has moved. There's just my wife and I that live here, so like, you know, there's stuff sometimes she'll be cleaning the counter and she moves the coffee pot so it doesn't cover the outlet, or so it does, and goes back in the room and it's been moved. And stuff like that happens common enough to where we both just kind of shrug it off. We notice it, we comment on it, but we don't like freak out about it. So, oh my God, this happened, because we're used to it. She's also spiritual, and she's actually a Native American, and I think she's kind of spiritual by culture, by her upbringing in that way. But we have stuff like that. One night, we were, my wife and I were in the living room watching television, and we couldn't find a lighter, and we needed a lighter. And we looked all over, and, you know, where's that little blue lighter? It should be right here. Couldn't find it. So I used the grill lighter, this big, long lighter, for what we needed. And we're watching TV. We turned the TV off, and we went to bed. And a few minutes later, the TV came back on. I walked out of the living room to turn the TV off, and the little blue lighter was sitting right in front of the couch on the ottoman, like right on top of our box.
Just back, yeah. I mean, it's like they're interacting with you and allowing you to know, hey, we're here, and they seem to be having a little fun with you then.
And I'm fascinated by it. You know, it's not a harmful thing. I feel privileged that I could even have that connection, that relationship.
Now, Rob, you were mentioning when we were talking earlier that you believe that your house, you had contact with a psychic, and that you believe that there's probably more than one spirit in your house, that something's going on there that way?
She told me that my house is like a gathering point for spirits, and she said the closest way she could describe it to me was that it looked like a nightclub. And she said there's one particular room, and she described I don't know if she used the word vortex, but she said it was like a glowing, like a hole or something around, like a glowing, a white glow that the spirits like come through. And she wanted to come to my house. She hadn't even been to my house. She's the mother of a girl who's one of my wife's best friends. And she called to tell me she had an emergency. She had to talk to us, so we got on the phone, and she's never been in my house. I've never met her. My wife hasn't even met her. It's her friend's mom, and she called to say that there's something in the house keeping my wife from healing. And at this time, she was going through chemotherapy. And there was something that a friend had given me, and my friend is also very very energy driven, but he's more dark energy. He's a director, producer, writer. He made this horror movie, and he's got like a whole movie to be made based on all the bad experiences of everyone connected to that movie that's either gone to jail, died in horrible ways, committed suicide, heart attacks, all kinds of stuff. And he's always like surrounded by these dark energies. And anyway, he had given us this little tiny statue, for whatever reason, I put it in our living room, and this lady called my house who had never been here to say, she described it by saying it's in the room that we spend a lot of time in, you know, where we focus, where we put our attention, like by the family television set. She said there's something new in the house. It hasn't been there long. It's just brand new, and it's just to the right, just to the right of it. It's brand new. It has to go. It's got dark energy. It's blocking her energy from healing, and it needs to be taken out of the house. So I threw it away. I took it out and I threw it away, of course, but it fascinated me. I've always wanted to meet her, and I have yet to make that actual physical connection.
Amazing.
She wanted to come to my house to see what she was seeing in her mind, and it's something, you know, that I hope to do in the near future.
And like you mentioned, you haven't quite connected with her yet. And just as a side note to everybody, I have tried to connect Michael Perry with Rob Van Dam, because they're very close to each other in Southern
Sure.
California. So, so they'll connect here sometime in the near future and go about that way.
Now, Rob, by removing that article from your home, did that in fact seem to lift the veil for your wife? Did she begin to heal, and did that start to take place?
Didn't notice, you know, and it's, you know, we hadn't gone through this before. We didn't have enough experience, I guess, to really know what to expect, and everybody reacts differently to the chemotherapy treatment. She healed and she's fine, and I had no way of knowing other than that was taking place anyway.
Well, Rob, here's what we're going to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would just say, you know, like, I don't know. We didn't notice that she was not healing right, or that she was sicker when it was here. But we got it out, and just knowing, you know, that she said that is enough. That's enough for me. I mean, it's how can you deny something like that?
Absolutely. Now, Rob, we're going to take our first break of the program. When we come back, you've had another experience that you might have caught on video, and I want you to hold this over until we cut back from the break. And we'll talk a little bit more with TNA X Division champion Rob Van Dam about his paranormal experiences. In the meantime, Dave, you've got something to tell us.
Right. In the first hour, we spent listening to Edwin Becker tell his true story about true haunting. If you watch Paranormal Witness, they featured it in the 90-minute season finale. Well, he has offered tonight, knowing that we are trying to raise money to help Second Harvest Heartland, to keep money and food into the communities here in the United States where they are needed most. He said for the first caller that will call in and make a $25 donation right now, he will go ahead and send out a signed copy of that book to the first caller that'll call us with a $25 donation. So why don't you go ahead and do that? 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. For those of the rest of you, you can just check out our website at darknessradio.com. Follow the banner. Make a click on that, and you can make a donation online. But to get the book, first caller with a $25 donation right now, I'll be able to link you up with that and get that signed. He'll send out an autographed copy of the book, True Haunting, directly to you. Stay tuned. We've got more of the best in paranormal talk radio and more with Rob Van Dam right after this.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis along with Dave Schrader, and tonight we're talking to TNA X Division champion Rob Van Dam. And no, we're not talking wrestling necessarily. We're talking the paranormal side of Rob Van Dam, and welcome back, Rob. Before the break, we had mentioned that you had a bit of an experience at your house that had to do with an accident. You might have caught a spirit on video. Can you kind of give us a little bit of background on that?
Yes, I live on a hill, and I live on the downside of the road. So I have like a 70-foot steep hill from my front yard up to a bush line. It's a lot of privacy. And a high school girl took her car through my bush line down that 70-foot slope and smashed into my sauna that sits right in front of my house. I wasn't home. Nobody was. But my dog. So when we came back, we watched the security footage and saw all of the neighbors that I've never met come down my stairs and stand on the bridge that goes over the sauna and just look down at the car. The girl had left by then, and we were watching the footage, looking at all this, and we saw this glowing ball, and we were like, "What the hell is that?" And it was like floating. At times when it would move, it almost looked like it was like bouncing in the air the way that it would like change direction. And it actually hovered right over where the people were looking down, and it was checking out the damage, the car and the sauna. And we just kind of laughed it off, but we thought it was really weird, and it hung out there for a while, and then it left. And, we made the connection between that and that lady that called and said that we have, you know, all these spirits here, and that she could only describe it as like that glowing round hole or doorway. And I just thought, yeah, I don't know if that had any connection or not, but we thought maybe. And again, you know, I was fascinated.
Now, I'm going to try and tie this together here a little bit. We've mentioned the experiences you're having at the current home you're at, the home you grow up in. Have you had any other experiences in between homes in any other cities where you've been?
Good question. Not necessarily firsthand that I can remember, but I do actually own a house in Las Vegas that I rent to some people, and they mentioned that they thought it was haunted in a particular room. And the girl, when I talked to her, her credibility was questionable, because she said like she was sleeping with the comforter on, and when she woke up the next day, the comforter was all the way across the room up by the door. But I had totally forgotten until she made this claim. But while I owned that house, previous tenants that were in there had an old man passed away up there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. When you're out on the road, Rob, you know, a lot of celebrities, a lot of sports figures from baseball, football, have talked about the different hotels that they've stayed in throughout their stays. And there are quite a few haunted, very haunted hotels out there that they've come across. Have you ever had any activity that's bothered you while you've been out, traveling around the United States doing the different matches?
No, I haven't. I always feel like I'm connected, you know, to my guidance. And by the way, something else that lady told me on the phone was that I was protected by the white light. And that just made so much sense to me, because I've always felt like that. That's why when my dark energy friend starts, you know, like, oh, don't say stuff, Rob. You don't want to threaten the dark energy. You know, I'm always like, screw your dark energy. I got the white light. And I kind of joke because it really bothers him when I say that. Cause he's like, no, don't say that, please. Because so many people have suffered that have like been in his house watching his movie and they got in a car accident or whatever. There's a huge list of things that have happened. And myself, I feel like I'm above that and that it can't get to me. I really do feel like that. And when I'm by myself, a lot of times, I don't feel like I'm by myself, even though I am. If I'm in a hotel and I'm leaving, to go to the gym, maybe to go hit the gym, and I leave, and as I'm going, I start to make a few steps down the hallway, and I go, oh shoot, you know, I forgot my sunglasses. I go back in to get my sunglasses. Oh, well look, I was gonna forget my gym bag. It's sitting right there beside the sunglasses. That's the kind of stuff that makes me feel like I'm guided and keeps me from making, mistakes. If I get into an almost accident on a highway, it doesn't even raise my heartbeat usually. If it's normal, something that's not my comfort zone is way bigger than most people, and I don't look at things like, oh my God, I could have hit that person. I look at it like I didn't hit that person. I never would have.
Rob, you know, a lot of sports figures talk about the fact that they become intuitive to their surroundings, and certainly in the sport and field that you're a part of, you know, there's a lot that goes on, some that's very carefully orchestrated and some that just kind of goes amiss. Do you feel that when you're in the ring and in the heat of things that you have been able to count on your own intuition and own sense, you know, the spidey sense, if you will, of when things might go horribly wrong? Because there's certainly been quite a few accidents and tragedies in your field.
Right. And yes, to an extent, because from my perspective, the intuition really has to do with just being connected. And when you're connected, you're connected to everything. And that gives you... That gives you physical dominance in the fact that you understand leverage because you're one with the air around you. You're all just energy vibrating at different speeds. And when you really can appreciate that and get in tune with that, then you have advantages in every which way. And everything moves together, physical, spiritual, and mental. So for me, absolutely. That's been how I remain still doing what I'm doing at the level that I'm doing it at and have been for so long is because of that, keeping all spirit, mind, and body all in tune together.
Yeah, because I would guess, you know, you have to rely on that intuition because it's a bit of a violent sport. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you guys are put into situations where one slight miscalculation not only can end a career, but can end a life. Paralyzation, broken bones, concussions, horrible things that can carry with you for life. So I would guess knowing when the right moment is to roll, to move, to duck, to dodge, you know, that's got to be a big part of who you are as a sports figure as well.
It's a very physically demanding job, and with my particular style, I have to challenge myself in order to get what I need to get out of being in the ring. When I challenge myself and I can keep myself impressed, I can impress the fans, and what I aim to do is even impress the other wrestlers, because that's the competitive nature, and that's why I'm at the top.
Now, Rob, I even got to take it one step further here. When you're in the ring, do you feel like there are certain guys that you're working in the ring that you're more intuitive with than others? Do you feel like you have a connection to certain wrestlers that you've had matches with before, or that you can develop that connection?
Of course, absolutely. I mean, from that matter, you could look at it probably like dancing partners. Not that I dance, but I would imagine there's some guys like Sabu, for instance, who I've wrestled for 20 years. I could get in the ring with him right now without ever talking about anything, without even seeing him for 6 months beforehand. I could see him in the ring and we could give you 30 minutes of a great match. And other people are, you know, they're individuals. Some people, they're so nervous. And as you know, any kind of negative energy, kind of blocks a real good physical or spiritual connection anyway, because, the anxieties, stuff like that works against you. But it has a lot to do with your abilities and your skill level, too. Someone that's been wrestling as long as I have and is a professional like myself, we automatically have the connection just because of that, just because we're both comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you are at a higher level state of your own well-being, of your own self. You're a better you when you're more comfortable and when your energy is up. Anxiety, nerves, pain, fear, any of that brings your energy down, makes you more susceptible to injury, to just being, you're disconnected and you're on your own and you got to get yourself back on your path. That's something that comes with experience.
Now, I'm going to tie in something here. We have to take one more break here, Rob, but I'm going to tie something in here and I want your reaction to it. You're talking about growing up in a haunted house as a kid. Your current house is haunted now. You talked about the house in Las Vegas, a little bit about being intuitive in what you do for a living. I'm going to throw this out here and you tell me how you react to it. Is Rob Van Dam attracting all the paranormal activity around him? Do you believe that you're a sensitive that's actually a lot like a light or a beacon to spirits and that you're actually drawing this activity to yourself?
I kind of feel more like it's there anyway and that other people that aren't sensitive to it will never know that it's there. But I don't know. I mean, you could be right. I don't know. I just, I've kind of looked at it more like, yeah, like I said, like it's in the house and I'm in there and I'm experiencing it. And I don't know. Maybe I am. I don't know. Hopefully we can find someone to tell me. I was really looking forward to talking to Medium Mike, and I'll do that in the near future.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to get you together with Michael Perry as well. I tell you what, Rob, we're going to take our second and final break of the program. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your sensitivities and some other things as well in the paranormal with you. In the meantime, Dave, what do you got for us?
Tomorrow night is our Halloween spectacular. You got to be here with us. Check this out. We have got two great back-to-back hours lined up. There has only been one documented exorcism in America, Possessed, tomorrow with Thomas D. Allen, the real-life story behind the movie The Exorcist. It is one of the most complete accounts of an exorcism since the Middle Ages, a book published for the first time in the revised edition called Possessed. You can check it out on Amazon. And in the second hour, we're going to talk about ghosts at funeral homes. What are the real experiences? We're going to talk from a sensitive who works in that environment, and we'll be helping to raise money for Second Harvest Heartland for our fourth annual Halloween for Hunger campaign. Please be a part of that with us. If you can't listen live tomorrow night, or if you're listening on our podcast version, please go to darknessradio.com, click the banner at the top of the page, and help make some dreams a reality. Help feed our neighbors in need here in the United States. Your dollar feeds three meals. $5 supplies 18 meals, and every $100 that we raise goes to feed a family of four for 30 days, three square meals each. This is a very important venture. We wish that you'd be a part of it with us. Check it out at darknessradio.com. Click the banner. Stay tuned. More with the great Rob Van Dam and Darkness Radio right after this.
Hey, this is Tim from Darkness Radio, and you know there's more to my life than just ghosts.
As much as I don't believe that, it's true. He's Tim, I'm Big D, he's Crisco. Join us for all things professional wrestling, whether it be the Minnesota indie scene or as big as the WWE.
We're Extreme Pro Wrestling Radio. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Extreme Pro Wrestling Radio and on Twitter at EPW Radio.
We got giveaways, talk behind the scenes dirt, and have interviews as big as Edge, Randy Orton, and Booker T.
So check us out.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis along with Dave Schrader. And tonight we're on the phone with TNA X Division champion Rob Van Dam. And we're not talking wrestling necessarily. We're talking paranormal with Rob Van Dam. And a very interesting side to you, Rob, in that you have this passion for the paranormal. Tell me what else might have fueled your passion for the paranormal other than growing up in a haunted house. Has it been stuff you've seen on TV or?
Well, Ghostbusters affected us all, man. Mm-hmm. That was a good movie.
Absolutely.
I don't have to define something that I know that I can't define. So my guidance could be looked at as a spirit. It could be looked at as, you know, my dead grandpa looking out for me. I wouldn't know. If someone told me that, then holy cow, they could probably convince me. From my perspective, it's just, you know, it used to be more like an angel. Now I think maybe it's like God, and it's something that we should all be connected to. So it's amazing with this conversation how it all relates to the same. I'll tell you how things fascinate me, mm-hmm. just by living in the magic of life. And when you talk about intuition, it's been my personal study throughout the day to try to figure out which is happening first, the chicken or the egg. Am I manifesting stuff to happen, or am I just catching the vibrations of the energy as it's on its way? Am I feeling my friend in Japan dialing my number because we are connected? You know what I mean? Like, one time I was meditating out by my pool, and everything made so much sense to me. Like, I wasn't touching the sun, but right. I could feel the heat from it because of the energy that was in between us. And I could hear the music because the energy in between us, and everything from smelling what was in the kitchen, every sense, everything was just energy, and we're all just a big pool of energy, and we're not even really solid beings, but as much as we'd like to think we are. If you look under a microscope, there's proof of that. And scientists even call the space in the middle of the atom, between all the electron and proton, all that, the God particle. And that's the space that they can't explain that actually causes stuff to happen. But here's an example of how I get fascinated. A couple of years ago, I'm down at Venice Beach. I journalized the synchronicities that happened to me that stand out. Sometimes they're really big. This one was pretty big. If you're not impressed, I don't see how you're not. And I'll try to make it quick because sure. I know I'm a lengthy talker. But I'm at Venice Beach, and my friend calls me and says, "Hey, man, what are you doing? I'm in town from Vegas." I said, "Oh, cool. Where are you at?" "I'm at Venice Beach." "Oh, well, keep walking. Meet me at the corner of Windward and the Boulevard." I'm like, 5 minutes from there. "I'll meet you right there." He says, "All right, cool. Hey, by the way," he goes, "do you know any hotels around here I can stay at?" And I said, "Oh, dude, I don't know. I haven't stayed at a hotel in L.A. since, like, probably like 10, 11 years ago when I came in town to wrestle one time, and this guy put me up in the Marina del Rey at this Best Western Jefferson Inn or something." He goes, "I don't know. We'll talk about it when I see you." Mm-hmm. So I go on to walk, and then there's my friend in a few minutes. I go up to say, "Hey, Dane, what's going on?" At the same time, this other guy hits me from a third direction, says, "Hey, RVD." And I just figured it's a fan. You know, I'm friendly. I say, "Hey, what's up, dude?" He goes, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I looked at him, and my friend and I hadn't seen each other in a while. We're standing there wanting to talk to each other. But who's this guy interrupting us? He goes, "You don't remember me, do you?" He goes, "You wrestled for me about 10 years ago here in L.A.
Wow, really?
That stuff happens to me. You get that, right? You understand what happens?
Oh, yeah, completely.
That stuff happens to me all the time, and I get goosebumps when I talk about it, because that's living in the magic of life. And the more I study it, it's like I'm trying to figure out like a pattern to the universe, and I recognize a lot of synchronicities like that. Things like that, that really, you know, that connect from three different ways. There's no way to explain, like, how could that really happen? But that stuff happens, and I think that it could happen to everybody if they just were as connected.
Now, I'm going to take you in a little bit of a different direction here. We're going to stay on the same topic, but I'm also going to play devil's advocate at the same time. Now, everybody knows, like I said, you're an open book, you're 420 friendly, and you do have a medical marijuana card in California where you're at now. I want to talk to you a little bit about marijuana and sensitivities to the spirit world. A lot of times, and the different experts we've had here on the show have said, well, you know, you probably want to avoid any type of drugs or alcohol if you're a sensitive, mainly because they believe it can open you up to negative energies. I also want to preface that by saying you also have, you know, different Native American tribes, South American tribes that use such hallucinogenics as peyote and whatnot to open themselves up for a spiritual experience. How do you feel marijuana helps you as far as your sensitivities go?
Yeah, so first off, marijuana doesn't inspire violence, unlike alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone drinks, they want to fight. You know, not everybody, but that's one of the very common side effects. Marijuana doesn't inspire that. It makes people feel peaceful. And what actually happens...
Unless you try to take my burrito, Rob, then we're going to have a problem.
Right. I love to connect munchies to pie, and that makes them laugh. And even that is a good spiritual thing if you laugh, because what it does spiritually is it puts you in that presence of being a higher version of yourself. And by higher, I mean like your frequency is vibrating at a higher level, and that's what you want, because the higher your frequency gets, the better you are, the better state of mind you're in, the higher, better clarity you can think with, the more spiritual you are. There's myths, you know, people that believe that you could eventually tune your frequency up so high that you cross over into the spiritual world. That's something the Celestine Prophecy was written about. And it's a fictitious book, but it's based on principles that feel real to those of us who see life this way. And so basically, when you can feel at your best, like let's say I'm going out to perform in the ring, mm-hmm. and there's a natural herb that, when consumed, blocks out the negative energies like anxieties, maybe upset stomach, you know, who knows, maybe I hadn't slept, maybe I had a flight with a screaming baby and didn't get to sleep, and here I am, maybe I got fatigue. If it blocks out those, because those are all distractions that knock you off your spiritual path and weigh you down. Any negative energy puts you in a lower energy. And you can't be thinking bad thoughts and feel good, and you can't be thinking good thoughts and feel bad. So you want to think good thoughts. One way to do that is to actually disengage from the bad thoughts, the bad energy, and to be at your best and to feel at your best. So cannabis can do that on a spiritual level when taken, when you can just feel good and you feel lifted, and you can use it right to coincide with a goal of spiritual growth, you can find it very useful.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes left. And with that 2 minutes, what I want to do is change direction a little bit. Obviously, you've had friends that you've wrestled with, that you've worked with, that have passed away. And I mentioned earlier in the program, and this kind of unnerved me a little bit. I want to get your take on it. Vicky Guerrero had gone out with Amy Bruni from Ghost Hunters to do some investigating. Now, I know it's been quite a few years since Eddie passed away. Is that something that you've ever partaken in, ghost hunting, one? And two, would you be a little nervous to try and look for somebody you knew by that method?
I would not be nervous. I don't get nervous around that. Just like when I'm at the cemetery and I'm trying to connect and trying to feel spirits, it doesn't make me nervous. It doesn't make me nervous to talk about me dying. People hate to hear that, but I often say, joking, like, hey, maybe I'll die and you can take the RV detour. You can check it out. So I used to hang out here. Don't say that. I'm not afraid to talk about death in comparison to the living world. But I would like to add, Bobby Duckham Jr. was one of my really close friends. I mean, he was my brother. He would be right here with me staying at my house if he was alive. Mm-hmm. And his wife one day was staying at a hotel where they had posters up that there was in one of the meeting rooms. They happened to be having filming a John Edwards show.
Okay.
She won tickets to it off of a drawing or something, and she went there with her daughter, and John Edwards channeled Bobby Duncan Jr.
Really?
That's pretty freaky.
That's amazing. I think we'll leave it right there, Rob. And again, we'd like you to connect with Michael Perry. We'd like to have you back on and get your impressions of your reading with Michael as well. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, I would love to. And should we wait for that, or should I try and get with him?
Well, you get with him first, and then we'll work on that off air. And again, if you want to check out Rob Van Dam, it's robvandam.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at The Real RVD. So there you go. Rob Van Dam, thank you very much for being with us tonight. And we'll talk to you again here in the future.
Conversation.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob.
All right. Thank you guys very much for joining us and being a part of the show. We'll be back again tomorrow. Remember, go check out our website, darknessradio.com. Click on the banner at the top of the page and help make a difference. Help us hit our $5,000 goal and raise money for Second Harvest Heartland. We appreciate it. Be safe. Tomorrow's Halloween. Be here for our special two-hour show where we delve into the story behind the real Exorcist. That's tomorrow on the best of Paranormal Talk Radio, Darkness Radio.